Hey, welcome back to another edition of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I'm your host, Elle Ariel, and we can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobswithanspodcast.com. How is everyone? We're also on the streaming platforms, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and more. If you are listening to us on one of those streaming platforms, we always love it if you could give us some stars, give us some feedback, give us some love so we can get higher in the rankings and more people can find out about our little podcast. Hey, how'd you get that music job? We're all about talking to the movers and shakers and innovators in the music biz. That's right. We talk to talented individuals from every aspect of the music industry, finding out exactly how they did get their music job. Also, special announcement, very thrilled to announce that for the second year in a row, we have been listed as one of the top career podcasts in 2019. Whoop, whoop. So very excited and happy about that. And thanks to all of you, of course, for making that happen. So last episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Jared Foreman. He is a music composer and he is also an app developer. He's developing an app that will automatically mix and master music. So really interesting discussion about that in the intersection of music and tech. This week, I am all about the hustle, baby. So I am speaking with Joshua Turner, who is the epitome of someone who is a very passionate, hardworking musician and is all about the hustle these days. He's going to talk about his journey from Berklee School of Music all the way to Los Angeles and beyond. But before we do that, we are going to listen to a track off his latest EP, Dusk. Here is Too Far Gone.
Am I too far gone to really care? And jealousy is what we know. And jealousy is our despair. And jealousy is what we know.
Hey, Joshua, welcome to Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job?
Hey, how are you, El Ariel?
I'm good. So good. Tell me about your, as you probably know, I start off by asking that first question about your first memory of music. Tell us what that was like growing up in your household.
Yeah, Axl Rose.
Ooh.
It was Axl Rose. I remember my dad would play Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction in his car, and he'd play it so much, and I was so young that I actually used to think the name Guns N' Roses was just another word for rock music. The lines were just blurred because it was infiltrated. So yeah, there was just, it all really started with Guns N' Roses. And
that is badass. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have vivid memories of being in the car and my dad hitting the steering wheel to the beat. And I remember thinking how good he was with time. So yeah, Guns N' Roses was where it all started for me. That's really, honestly, the majority of the music that was played in my house, if we were ever intentionally playing music, was Guns N' Roses.
That's great. I love it. So where did your kind of musical beginnings happen? Did you start taking lessons? Did you pick up an instrument, or what does that look like?
You know, it's such an interesting thing because I didn't actually start music, like actually start music, till I was 15.
Wow.
And I didn't seriously start it until I was 16. But the thing about it is I always loved music, and I always, there's a video of me when I was like 2 years old strumming a guitar. And looking back at that video, I saw that my timing was very good for 2 years old. and so I it's been in there. I think it just took a while because I think I was a very shy kid growing up and I really cared a lot about what people thought of me. And if it wasn't really happening, you know, and I'm talking like middle school, if it wasn't really happening in middle school, then I didn't really do it. And in my school, there wasn't a lot of people who played music or sang or outwardly put their band out there. So it wasn't until I got my heart broken for the first time that it's like, all the walls fell down and I just wanted to find an identity. And I just actually chose to be a musician. And I just so happened to have an electric guitar. So I picked that thing up. And I, rather than learning people's songs, I just went straight into writing songs, not really even knowing how to play guitar. And I did that. And I took some lessons simultaneously for guitar, but it was very minimal. So my guitar playing and music making in the beginning was very primitive. But I actually got so into it that I made two albums in high school and sold them at my high school. And I think people bought them mainly because they were so curious. Because like I said earlier, no, but there wasn't many bands out there. And then here's this kid who was super preppy, because that's what was happening. It, that pretty much just turned like goth rocker and now selling this album. So, but that shows just how much the bug got me when I found music. And mainly it was just healing my heart from that first intense heartbreak that you feel when you first fall in love. And yeah, I just went at it. I went at it hardcore. I'm talking like stopped hanging out with the friends I hung out with, pretty much just focused on music and schoolwork, which is a really interesting combination. But I did super well in school while making music. And at the same time, I was like goth rocker. So
what do you think that was from? Because I know the heartbreak was certainly a catalyst, but I mean, if you can remember, like, what do you think caused that? I mean, that's a huge shift, and there's so many other different directions that you could have gone in. What do you think that was about?
I honestly think it was waiting for me. Hmm. You know, I think some people have music inside of them, and I think I've always had that within me, and I think it was just waiting. And I think when all my walls broke down, it just came out and I latched onto it. And I think that's kind of how it happened, you know? And yeah, it really was just music. That's the thing that I went full force into.
And where did you get the confidence to share it? Like to be sort of able to self-promote? Because I could imagine it was a pretty personal endeavor.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote songs from my heart, you know, and it was very revealing. And I think it kind of, the first thing that when you asked that question that came to my mind is when you feel like you have nothing to lose. Hmm. So I felt like during that heartache, I lost my identity. I lost everything. And there was nothing that I was protecting anymore. And that was honestly that situation was probably the biggest gift I can think of getting in my life, was that first gift of music through that heartbreak.
Wow. And I presume your family was pretty supportive. Yeah.
Oh yeah. They were super supportive. When they found out I was into this, and they bought me a PA system. We were fortunate to live out in the woods, and I had a whole daylight basement to myself. So they bought me a PA system. They bought me a drum set. They bought me everything I needed to do this. They bought me a Fostech 8-track recorder, which is what I did my albums on. And I had everything I needed due to the support of my parents, which I'm super grateful for, because I know that people don't get that, and I did.
Yeah, I love that. That makes me actually really happy that they didn't try to sort of control it or be like, well, you know, if you're going to do this, you really should have these kinds of lessons, or you really should be doing da da da. Like, I think that's phenomenal. They kind of just gave you what you needed, the tools you needed, and just kind of let it be raw and unfettered. And
yeah, and that's what they, yep. And that's what they did. And I'm grateful for it.
So after high school or looking towards college, what was kind of your next steps?
So I actually, it's an interesting story. Like I said, I went at it for 2 years hard. Like I'm talking all my time went into music, like from no experience to 2 years, every single day, majority of the day doing music, exploring music. And I actually had somebody brought up Berklee College of Music to me in my senior year of high school. And I never thought of going to a music school, because I just kind of wanted to just be a rock star. And I just, I, I didn't think of it or consider it. And I honestly didn't even think I'd get in because I had no formal training or anything, but I applied and it's funny because when I applied, I thought, well, I sing, I play drums, I play guitar, you know, I produce my music. What do I want to go for? And I thought, well, I really like singing. I really like performing. So I applied for the vocal program, and sure enough, to my surprise, to this day, I was accepted. And I can honestly say, I think I was accepted not because of my talent. I think they saw the potential that I had, and they saw the drive. Like, the drive was intense. And I showed them that during my audition. Like, I auditioned with an original song that I wrote and recorded. And I think it's all naivety. I didn't know any better. And I think there's something beautiful to that, is not knowing what you're getting into and just going for it. And sometimes it works out.
Yeah. And I think that that ties in too to the fact that I bet your sound was really original, because you weren't sort of influenced by certain teachers or certain methods or certain genres of music. It doesn't sound like, it sounds like, again, it was just pure, whatever sort of came out.
Yeah. And that's what it was, because when I performed, I didn't even know the chords of my own song at that time. That's how naive I was. I just knew how to play it. I knew where to put my fingers, and I knew that I figured it out. And I mean, it really all started at Berklee, you know, when it comes to knowing what I was doing, I was just doing. So that was really amazing. And I remember, you know, I remember just that feeling of getting accepted into this music school. I think it was like a 32% acceptance rate at the time, which is why I thought, well, you know, I probably won't get in, but you know, it's an opportunity, so why not take it? And that was, I think that was a huge thing that solidified in my heart that, okay, you can really do this, because you just got this validation of getting accepted into this music school. And that builds, you mentioned confidence. I think confidence is so big in this industry. And that's different than arrogance, because confidence is having that comfortable belief within yourself. And you don't have to flaunt it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be confident in what you have and put it full force, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And again, it's just sort of having faith in yourself and what you're creating is really special, in the sense it's very unique and it's yours and it's original and that it deserves to be out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I did, you know, and not knowing that I was doing that, but I think you worded it well. That's the approach I took.
So tell us about the school experience. I am really interested, because Berklee, you know, is an institution. So was there any sort of kind of like culture shock or adjustment that you had to make being in a very sort of formal music school?
Yeah, it was like the first shock was moving from the West Coast to the East Coast. Like, I had never been to the East Coast, and
that was
a huge shock. Like, it was really strange for me how different things are done on the East Coast. But when it comes to Berklee, like, I am so, so impressed with the people I met at Berklee, not only because they're like musical geniuses, but the biggest thing that shocked me there is when I got there, everybody flooded their support towards me. It didn't feel like a competition. It felt like, hey, we're all here, you know, we want to move ahead, and I believe in you, so let's do this. And that was really something that I was not expecting. And I realized why they did that is because these people that go to this school are on a whole different level of music. They don't need to prove anything. They're so good at what they do. And there's that, they had that confidence in that comfortability within their skill, that majority of them just, you know, wanted to work on what they wanted to work on and, you know, smile and support the people that are around them. And not everybody was like that. I mean, you're not going to find everybody like that, but majority of the people that I met there were like that. And And it's like, yeah, like I said, it's the skill level that is there is like to a whole different level. And again, while I was there, I found I was also unique, and not just because I thought so, but Berklee professors would tell me, like, you know, I was a rock singer. I'm singing lots of Guns N' Roses, and I was just doing my thing, and there wasn't a lot of people that I had to compete with on that level, which was kind of cool because I got into a lot of things that were, you know, there was a lot of competition to get into those things, but because what I did was unique to the school, I was able to, like, for example, there was this Berklee showcase that I got in as a freshman, which, you know, you don't typically get into singing in Berklee showcases as a freshman, but I think just my, you know, my confidence in what I did and just the fact that what I did was different than a lot of singers there, it put me in some really cool positions. And so it was a cool thing to be able to be different, you know, not have too much competition with people doing what you're doing and have everybody around you support you and really validate you. I'm really grateful for that experience at Berklee.
Hmm. And what about the technical aspects of it, like music theory and composition and stuff like that? Was it challenging at all, or did you find that it came pretty naturally, or what was that like?
Oh, El Ariel, it was so hard. I cannot even tell you. I remember the first time I went to my music theory class, and I just was looking at the board, what he was writing, what the professor was saying, like a deer in headlights. I was like, I have no idea what he is talking about.
Yeah.
But I worked hard, and I worked as hard as I possibly could. And I failed a couple times, and they said that's normal with people who don't, you know, have any experience coming in, because the majority of people do have experience coming in because they've grown up doing music in the sense of music theory and stuff. But yeah, it was super, super hard. And I honestly didn't like it. I understand the value of it. I really understand the value of it. And I wish that I liked it more, but I really did not like music theory, and I didn't want to do it. But I knew that I had to do it to be in the school, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel you, because I went to Indiana University and for 1 year. And I did their music, you know, their music program, their music theory, whatever, their first, you know, freshman. And I'm trying to remember. I think I barely passed. You know, I had years and years of classical music and reading music, and certainly knew no problem like reading music and understanding chords, but I just was the same. I just found music theory to be like advanced calculus. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
so
it was.
I don't know who has like the incredible background or knowledge coming into that it's a breeze, because I sure as hell, and I thought I was pretty cocky. I was like, come on, I got all this, you know, classical music under my belt. And I was lost. I was completely lost.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, on the flip side, you know, what I found is, and this kind of shocked me too, like, you know, there's some people that are so good at music theory, but the moment you take that away from them and ask them to improvise, They freeze like a deer in headlights. That blew my mind, because they can be so good at their instrument when there's sheet music in front of them, but you take that away, they don't know what to do. And that was what I had, that I was super comfortable improvising. That was my strong suit. I was super comfortable going off, you know, just right in the moment doing it. And I think that showed me that there's different types of musicians.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I come from a different mold than a lot of people who go to music school, because I am just a little bit more intuitive, a little bit more spontaneous. And that's not better or worse. It's just the way that I am. It hurts me in a lot of situations, but in a lot of situations, it helps me, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I've shared it before. Like when I tried to take jazz piano, I was completely like those people you're talking about. I couldn't improvise. I mean, now I can, thank God. But at the time I was like, what? What do you mean? Because I had been so conditioned to, especially with classical. And that's why I think, too, you actually had kind of an advantage that you didn't have a classical training, because you're so conditioned to really, you know, notes have to be played exactly a certain way, the way it's written on the page, the dynamics, the touch. And it can condition you to think, it's like, don't color outside the lines kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's that naivety that I was telling you about, that I think there is an advantage to that. And I'm glad I didn't know the tower that Berklee was, how big it was and how hard it was to truly get in, and just the level of school that it was. I'm glad I didn't know that. I'm glad I just did it. And I learned a lot from that, that's kind of how I approach everything to this day, that I like to just go and just do it, you know, and not think too much about it, you know, and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You're kind of like Elle Woods in Legally Blonde when she's like, she gets into law school and she's like, what, like it's hard?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, the naivety of it all. You're like, oh, I didn't know, but I'm here and that's great.
Yeah. So continue the journey. Were you also playing guitar at Berklee, or what were you doing?
Well, this is funny because I wrote songs on guitar and I did all this. And I remember I was hanging out with a friend in my dorm and we were just hanging out and I was like, hey, check out this song that I'm working on. Cause just writing songs was just normal to me. And I played it and they listened to it and they're like, dude, you're a guitar player too. And I was like, oh, really? They're like, yeah, man, you're not just a singer. You're a guitar player. You can play guitar. And I never really had anybody comment on my guitar skills other than, you know, family. But because I never really played guitar out, really, I mainly just sang whenever I played out. So that kind of opened a new thing within me, like kind of like that validation that's like, oh, aha, okay, well. So I started playing guitar a lot more at Berklee, and I just kind of really was venturing into that. So to move the story along, I stayed 2 years, and there's multiple reasons I stayed 2 years at Berklee. I knew that I wanted to stay 2 years and then see where I was at, and where I was at was super in debt, and I agree with this choice now. I realize that I wasn't necessarily cut out for music school if I had to pay for it. And I did have to pay for it, unfortunately. And so I ended up leaving and I ended up coming back to Seattle. And when I came back to Seattle, I started really delving into guitar and really getting into making guitar my primary instrument. And so with having like a year in Seattle, I thought, you know what? I just want to go to LA. You know, I did Berklee. It was cool, but I want to get in there now. I want to do what I've always wanted to do, which was be in LA, be in Hollywood and make it happen. So I applied for Musicians Institute for the guitar program. Mm-hmm. Mainly not really even, I liked guitar, but I just wanted to get down into Hollywood. And that's really the only way I was able to do that quickly, was to enroll in a school and get some financial aid and do it that way. So that's what I did. I moved to Hollywood and was pretty much just living up Cahuenga by the freeway and able to just walk down to Hollywood Boulevard. And I just went to school for a while and I auditioned for some bands, singing some in some like rock bands. And there was this one band that I auditioned for that they were cool, but I didn't really like the style of music. My music was starting to get a little bit more modern, my taste, rather than just like the 80s classic rock. So I ended up not saying anything or not calling them back and just like leaving it. And I ended up getting a call from this lady saying like, hey, I have a guitar player here. He said, you're an awesome singer and we want you to come and be a part of this band. And I won't go too much into detail with this, but it turns out this lady had like a lot of money band. She paid. She was developing a band, and she was taking us to red carpet events, and that was like that was truly for me for my childhood. That's like a dream come true. Like I remember going to like red carpet event with Richie Sambora and all these people musicians and actors that I grew up watching as a kid. And there I was standing next to them on the red carpet. Nobody knew who I was or any of us, but they were snapping pictures.
Wow.
And it was really, it was like that. Wow. And, you know, I realized like, okay, this lady was actually, you know, paying her publicist to tell people that we were somebody. And then the people believed her or believed the publicist. And that was weird for me. That was another eye opener that I thought, okay, well, I'm on this red carpet event. We don't even have any music or even a full band. I'm the singer of this band that's developing. And it was all just not real to me. So I thought, this is too much. You know, I feel like, you know, and in LA, in the scene I was in, at least, is intense. I was in the rock scene, living the rock lifestyle in LA, and that is intense. And I had to just leave. It was just too much. And so I left. I left LA and I came back to Seattle. And in a way, I kind of walked away from music for a while. And, you know, to really speed it up, I ended up meeting a girl who's now my wife. And kind of, you know, just living a normal life. And we ended up having a daughter. And then I started listening to podcasts. And I started hearing about musicians and how the music industry is changing and what people are doing. And then I heard sync licensing. And so sync licensing is like putting music to television, film, commercial ads, anything. And I had this moment after hearing this lady talking about sync licensing that, you know, it was so definite that you need to get back into music. It was one of those moments that I felt like this is what you were created for. You know, why are you making it so complicated by running from this? You know, you love it. It's in your heart. It kind of goes back to that thing. Like there's some people that music is just in them. You can't get away from it. And it unlocked. And I started the journey of sync licensing almost exactly 2 years ago and started writing music again. And since then I have released one album and I've just actually last week released a second EP. And I've been pitching those to these people that it's taken forever to start building relationships with. It's a long process. It is a long process to get into the sync licensing field, but I've been building these relationships and I've been meeting some amazing people and it's been really great. And so right now I'm one of those musicians that had a lot of cool things happen to them when they were young, stopped and then started all over. And right now I'm in the midst of it. And it's interesting because I'm a husband, I'm a father of two kids now, and I'm doing music. And that brings us into the modern day and age of how the heck do you do music, especially with a wife and kids or a husband and kids or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to just go back a little bit. I really love what you said, but I think it's important because you've had a really fascinating trajectory and it's kind of like you've checked the boxes. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like you've gone to a very prestigious music school. Then you came to LA, you got involved with like Musicians Institute, you fell in with the right quote unquote people. And you kind of like got a very close look of like how the sausage is made and how this sort of publicity machine, the marketing machine, the media machine runs things. And I think it's really interesting that you had this very sort of intense experience in LA and then made the decision to leave because I think that that is what how do I describe this? Because I've been in LA since 2001. Oh, and wow. It's like there is this like really insane, intense industry side of it. And I think it kind of chews you up and spits you out because you're dealing with this, well, I should say LA in general, like you're the city itself, the industry itself is dealing with a constant influx of talent, right? Like people come mm-hmm. from all over the world to quote unquote make it in LA, whether it's acting or music or, you know, whatever. And so there's this sort of factory almost imagery, right? It's like people just like next day there's 50 more people just waiting to get where you're at. Next day, 50 more people, you know, and it's sort of this like you're a cog in the wheel. And I think it's very seductive. And I think it took a lot for you to leave. I'm sure it did because this is sort of, for many people, it seems to be the last stop. You know, like if you can't make it in LA, man, wow, I don't know. I think you better just hang up your hat. And I love the fact that you said, no, I know that there's more to this. And the fact that you did a geographic, but you took your music with you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit more about that LA experience. Cause I think it's important for people to really realize like yes, LA is very important, but I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. And I think that we're increasingly moving away from that. We're moving away from Nashville, New York, LA having to be the epicenter where you have to be, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to also reiterate, like, I went into LA with a certain goal in mind. I knew what scene I was going into. I knew the direction I was heading. And I think I also shot myself in the foot because I told myself that is the only aspect of the industry. And I was completely wrong. I went into the side of the industry where you are doing the rock star thing. And the rock star thing is playing a role. Like I literally went up to this manager's apartment and she would tell me what to wear. And some of the things I didn't like wearing, like I didn't want to wear, you know, some of the things that she had me wear, but, you know, she was paying for this and she, you know, wanted an image and there were perks too. And honestly, there were perks that I didn't partake in. Like, you know, I'm a nice person and she'd set me up with like girls and I'd talk to them, have a normal conversation, respect them. You know, when we're at these events and she came up to me and said, you need to be more mean. And that was weird to me because it's like, why, you know, why do you want me to be more mean? Because she was thinking that just because I could sing Guns N' Roses and I could sing that type of music, that I'm actually that person. And I wasn't, I'm a kind person who respects people. And she didn't understand why I wasn't being more of a sleazy rock star guy. And the reason being is because I know that if you go into that and you actually in your heart become that person, then you are going to burn. You are going to wash up and burn. And I don't want to do that. You know, like you said earlier, I feel there's more to this than being that quote unquote rock star that everybody thinks of as a rock star. And yeah, just going back, like it's, LA was everything that I thought it would be. LA is everything that I saw portrayed in films. The scene that I was in, and it was crazy, crazy. Like going to the Rainbow Bar and Grill and talking to these people, like literally seeing the big guy with two girls on his arms talking to you, and you don't see that in other places other than LA. You know, this is just LA, you know, and yeah, and the experience was a little intense for me because I was in it and people were pushing me further in it and it was already so intense. And I knew in my heart that if I were to stay there in that scene, I was not going to end up in a place I wanted to be. You know, I was literally sitting in Beverly Hills with this manager right before I left and we were talking to her lawyer about a 7-year contract of me being through that. And that's when it really opened my eyes. Like, okay, can you spend 7 years going to these red carpet events, you know, and portraying this image that you're going to be signing your contract, agreeing that you're going to portray. And I just couldn't do that because it, you know, number one, it didn't feel authentic to me. And number two, I think I would get hurt somehow, you know, whether it be falling into an addiction because there was, you know, alcohol everywhere and I was expected to drink it. And I realized like, I can't sustain that lifestyle every single night. But if I were to sign 7 years of my life away, that's what the 7 years would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the irony of LA is that in some ways it is sort of a very small town in that they'll present sort of seemingly one path, right? Like, this is what you got to do. You're at ground zero. This is the industry. So this is what you have to do. You have to do X, Y, Z. And mm-hmm. I think, like I said, it's the same or very similar for, you know, actors trying to do, you know, they have to do certain things. They have to follow. It's a pretty narrow path. What I love about LA and why I've remained is that there's this, and I know you know this already, I'm just saying it for our listeners, but there's this incredible burgeoning underground art, music, creative scene that is like light years apart from the industry. Mm-hmm. You'll never see it sort of mainstream. You'll never see it on Entertainment Tonight, you know, but there's this very vibrant because the people I think that were chewed up and spit out by the industry have remained for whatever reason and still continue to create. And it's, again, it's just sort of a lovely byproduct of like, I like this neighborhood and I'm going to like play at this coffee shop down the street so that you're going to hear like incredible music in all these little unglamorous venues and spaces. And so there's a very fertile ground here, but it's like you kind of have to see past the bright lights, right? And I know you know this, yeah. But it's so interesting. It's sort of like probably where you'd least expect it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. And that's unfortunately the side of LA that I never got to see because I had my sights set on what I knew LA to be. And I went towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
but I look at somebody like you, for example, like I've checked your music out. I've seen your shows and I admire you because you're doing your thing. You know, you've been in LA since 2001. You know, I don't know what your experience has been like, but you're still there and you're still doing your thing. And I admire that. I admire that very much because that takes a strong personality to be able to live in a city like that where so much is going on. You're being told you have to do certain things, then you have to decide, do you want to do those things? And you're just doing your music and you're happy and you're, you know, you have a great attitude and now like, so with me, and then you're giving a platform for, you know, people like me who have been through their own story of music to speak, and you're just doing good. You're doing good for the world, for the music industry, for people, you know, in the music industry. And that's what I want to do. I want to be that for people with my music, you know, with how I am. I want to be kind. I want to build relationships. And that's, and you know what? I think that if you do that, I truly feel in my heart, if you do that and you build authentic relationships with people, everything else will come. And that's what I've experienced since I've started music professionally again 2 years ago.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And thank you so much. You're so sweet for the kind words. It really, it means a lot. And I feel very privileged to have somebody like you on the show. And I want people to hear about, here's somebody who left, who had a contract handed to him and decided to turn the other way, go another path, a path that's not, what is it? The road less taken. And I want to hear about that. Like how you've managed to
be not only self-supporting, but be able to support a family while still doing what you love.
Yeah, yeah. So this, you know, and this is where it comes into the modern music industry. And this is where I hope to, you know, share some nuggets of wisdom that I've found through this journey within the modern music industry now. So like, you know, I needed to find a way that I could do music, but also not be required to tour. And that's where sync licensing came in. So I decided I'm going to, you know, write music and gear it towards television and film so I can do music and make money and play shows when I want to play shows, but not depend on that for income. And I also had to feel in going off of, you know, how do you gain some income off of this? I realized, and I'm not the only one, I've built some really special connections over these past couple years with some Nashville people, reconnected with some Berkeley people, and just really working those connections. And the theme that I've found is the first thing is it's all about relationships. It's even relationships are even more important than the product that you have, because you know, if you have a good relationship with somebody and you have got an awesome song, but then you have a song that's also really awesome, maybe even more awesome, but the person doesn't know that person, they're going to choose the person they know to work with, and they're going to give that person first advantage to the opportunity. So relationships, that's the biggest thing that I found how to succeed in the modern industry. Because there is the model, at least in the line that I'm in, it's changing. It's changing so rapidly, and even the industry people are trying to catch up and figure out what do we do now? How do we do this? We're all kind of on the similar wavelength, and we're all trying to figure out who can figure it out first. And then multiple streams of income. Like with me, I thought, okay, well, I need to, you know, while I'm doing the working on the sync licensing and trying to build that repertoire up for myself, how can I make money immediately? And I also do what a lot of people do, and that is I've created an online course on how to sing, because shoot, I went to school for singing. I have some great information that I learned as a singer. I think my story alone of getting into Berkeley makes my course appealing, because I'm kind of the person that never should have got in, but did get it. How the heck does that happen? Mm-hmm. And I go into that. I have a course called Simply Singing. And all you have to do is go to simplysinging.teachable.com and you'll see it. And yeah, so that course actually brings in income for me. And I don't have to put a lot of time into it, 'cause I've already filmed it. And so it's that, it's just finding different ways. There's a whole bunch of little things my hands are involved in. And right now, like, I have two kids and a wife, and my wife stays home with the kids. And I have a full-time job, but I'm building these things and I'm waiting for that transition. So you're hearing this from somebody who is in the midst of building that career to make that transition. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that, like, especially in May, I'm going to head to Nashville, because I was invited to something I can't go too deep into, but a really, really, really amazing opportunity. And I see things happening now the way that I want them to, the way that I truly feel is the route that I am to take if I want to be the person and the musician I want to be. And that is super, super exciting for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been chipping away at it. It is like, it's like they describe, like, the statue, you know, the Michelangelo or whatever. It's like, it wasn't just like one hit, right? Yeah. With the chisel, and then it suddenly appeared. It was like endless, 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 endless chipping it out of the, you know, the block of marble. And that's the vision I have with you. It's like, I should say, you already are the star. Do you know what I mean? There's no improvement. I think that's something I really want to stress to our listeners as well, because I think sometimes I'll speak for myself. I get caught up in the, like, I'm just not good enough. I just need to be better. The world doesn't work like that. I think that's the big, huge illusion. Yes, you can improve on your craft, but you already, who you are and the creation that you bring to the world is already perfect. It's just a matter of time and persistence, of sharing that message, sharing that gift, allowing it to marinate, for more people to discover it, for more people to appreciate it, you know, and get that sort of snowball momentum. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's, and it's hard work. It's super hard work, but you know, it brings you face to face with how bad do you really want this? When I was at Berkeley, I didn't want it as bad as I did now, or as I do now. When I was at Musicians Institute in LA, I didn't want it as bad as I do now. I want it more now than I've ever wanted it before. And if I can make things happen the way I did, you know, when I didn't want it, then I'm really hopeful that I can do something with it now. Not to say I didn't want it, but I didn't, it wasn't as strong as it is now, because the truth of the matter is I have my wife and I have my kids, and I'm doing it for them now. I was just doing it for myself then, and I don't think myself was enough, truly, for my personality.
Hmm.
I think I needed more to do it for, and that's who I'm doing it for now.
Yeah, and that whatever it takes, wherever the motivation comes from.
Yeah, and I don't need to be the rock star anymore. You know, like I feel like I did that, and I don't mind being, you know, just somebody who is involved in the industry, you know, because I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with, I don't feel like I missed anything. I feel like I was very fortunate to have the experiences I had, played the shows that I had, met the people that I had, you know what I mean?
Well, I would just say, I totally agree with you. But what I would also say to that is that those old institutions and paradigms are falling. Like, I think Rome is burning. That's kind of my opinion. And so, you know, like, look at rock today in terms of the charts. It's like, for right now, it's basically non-existent. So yeah, we're moving into uncharted territory. And I think that that is very exciting. It's scary as hell. And certainly a lot of industry vets are totally freaked out by it, understandably. However, with this upheaval comes opportunity. And I think that you could very well be a rock star in a video game. You know what I mean? Giving a virtual concert. We don't know what the next kind of platforms that are right now being rolled out. Maybe it's going to go from like car karaoke to like driverless car performances. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's all this crazy shit that's coming out that none of us can even fathom what's going to happen or how it's going to look or how it's going to be consumed by the general public. So in that sense, all bets are off, and in a good way. So your days of being a rock star could very well be ahead of you. And I believe that.
Well, great. You know what? And I'm all for that, because it truly is exciting. I totally agree. Like, I'm not one of those people that's bitter about where the industry is at. I'm actually super, super excited that it is the way it is, because there's so much more creativity now for the artists to pave that path on how are they going to do this. You know, I think it's just exciting that I can be a musician and also teach people how to sing and how to have confidence and have that be part of it. Like, that's really cool. You know? And so it's everything you make it now, and you have full creativity on how you're going to navigate. And I really like that.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, we're running out of time, but will you tell our listeners again, like, how they can find you, how they can get in touch with you, and also tell them again about your course?
Yeah, absolutely. So everything that I'm involved in can simply be found at joshuaturnermusic.com. And, you know, I'm on all the social medias. So it's all my social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Reverb Nation. It's all the JWT. That's all it is. And except for Instagram, it's the THEEJWT. So pretty simple. I try and make it simple. But yeah, you can start at joshuaturnermusic.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Joshua. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. You as well, El Ariel. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast, and I love it.
My special thanks to Joshua for such an inspiring and empowering chat. I hope everyone has now got the fire in their belly that Joshua certainly has. So again, you can find him at joshuaturnermusic.com or at the JWT if you're looking for him on social media. Instagram is THEEJWT. Thus ends another week of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? My loves, thank you so much again as we get into the second quarter of 2019. We are all about the hustle, aren't we? And I'm just so grateful to have you with me on this crazy journey. So again, you can find us on social media at Music Jobs Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, L. Ariel, and you can find me at lariel-music.com. That's lariel-music.com. My social media is at lariel-music. That's lariel music. Okay, take good care. Have a wonderful week. And remember, we are going to all keep on hustling, pursue that dream, and don't you give up.